You're listening to Rambling Business, the only international small business and travel podcast with Rick and Brandon,
where we get into your business no matter where it is.
And today we'll be talking about Amsterdam and the business of prostitution. Rambling Business continues our Amsterdam business by talking about what some say is the oldest profession, the grand dam of professions, if you will.
I always thought it was farming.
That's true, but when you when they do things with monkeys and they test them on, introducing money to monkeys psychologically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first thing that the monkeys start doing is paying for sex. So
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think they're right on this.
Well, I'm not getting a monkey for a pet. Or if I do, I'm not giving them an allowance.
Yeah, that's true. Rick and the family strolled through Amsterdam's famous red light district as a curiosity, but ultimately learned that this type of business may be on its way out. Of course, stay tuned for our tax deals and business takeaways coming up.
When I decided to do an Amsterdam business series, the first thing that came to mind was the famous red light district business, because I've been there before and I've seen it before and always wondered from a business point of view, how does this thing even work? You know, that's very different than Los Angeles.
Yeah, especially since Amsterdam has very strange laws.
Yeah.
In that, like, marijuana, as far as I know, isn't exactly legal, but it's sort of not
Tolerated.
Huh? It's tolerated. Yeah. They just sort of turn their eyes, a blind eye to it, as it were.
Well, I kind of looked at this from a much broader point of view, because every country has legalized vices. For example, like gambling, right? Liquor, tobacco, marijuana, any kind of recreational drugs that may be legal. You know, marijuana now in California anyway, not in the United States, but California somewhat. So all these different vices, quote unquote, are legalized and they're all businesses. And so I decided, well, let's look and see what the prostitution business is like there. So putting aside any moral or value judgment, the challenge for these countries is to operate a vice without crossing the line of the point of no return. For example, you can't be drunk or high while driving a car.
Yeah.
Right. So it's legal to smoke marijuana in California, but you can't be driving a car and doing it.
And that's common sense because, you know, what's the old adage? My right to swing my fist ends right before it hits your chin. So as long as you do something.
That would be a battery. But if you miss, it would be an assault.
No. What I'm saying is you can do whatever you want as long as you don't hurt someone.
Right. Now, another example is if you're a professional athlete, here in this country anyway, you can't gamble on the game you're playing in.
Though that just changed. They now got rid of sports betting as only Las Vegas doing it.
Right, right. Well, you see, Pete Rose was kept out of the Hall of Fame because he wasn't betting on his own games. He was betting on other games. And I believe the whole Black Sox scandal was because of betting. Chicago White Sox.
That was also not only betting, but there were...
Throwing the game
in order to get good bets, yeah.
So sometimes this black line and black and white line kind of blends to gray, you know, in a lot of these areas. Now, Amsterdam's red light district is not new. It's existed back to the 14th century, and not surprising because Amsterdam is a harbor city. And harbor cities historically have had visiting sea merchants and sailors who would be susceptible to such services, or patrons of such services. Now, a good historical example comes from the biblical city of Corinth. This is a city that was a two-port city. It's on an isthmus, and they had a port on each side. So they had lots of sailors.
Just like Catalina.
Oh, the two harbors. That's right. I forgot about that, the two harbors. I don't think there's any prostitution over there in Catalina, though.
I mean, yeah, maybe.
You go to the two harbors, you see nothing but a bunch of Cub Scouts.
Well, you know what you see at two harbors is cans of clams.
Oh, okay.
In oil, mostly.
Right. That's right. You spent the night there.
I did.
That's right. A couple nights, I think. In the Corinth example, the temple of Aphrodite, the goddess of
love,
sex and love, was up on a hill where 1,000 temple prostitutes would come down to the city at night. So you could see historically harbors have been a magnet for prostitution, and Amsterdam is no example. So back in Amsterdam, in Dutch, the red light district is called De Wallen, which means the walls. You probably guessed it.
Yeah.
Because some of the canals were located next to an old walled harbor. So people would always use that as like, you know, hey, we're going to go to De Wallen. That's what it meant. Now, the women of prostitution in that city were not always protected as they are today. In 1994, Mariska Majur, who started working as a prostitute since she was 16, opened up the Prostitution Information Center, which exists today still. It's a charitable foundation that informs the public about the social conditions and the laws of sex industry workers. So this is a very organized place. The organization, as it operates today, actually was in the forefront of legalizing prostitution in the year 2000, which really surprised me because I thought it was much earlier than that.
It was one of those things with Dutch laws where they just turned their blind eye to it. But of course, any industry that's like that, if you look at drugs, right, mm-hmm. in America, for mm-hmm. example, yeah. There's going to be a lot more health laws about how marijuana is grown now.
Yeah, right,
in California
yeah.
than there were, you know, when people were growing yeah. it in illegal grow operations and, you know, maybe using bad pesticides or fertilizers.
So do you think we can change the definition of the phrase, let's go Dutch? I mean, instead of being like we each pay for our own meal, it would be like we just turn a blind eye to something?
I guess, yeah. I mean, those are both pejoratives. So I mean, it's like a half a dozen of one and six of the other.
Now, one thing you probably noticed when you were in Amsterdam mm-hmm. is that street prostitution is illegal.
Yeah, you have to have like a storefront.
Right, right. You can't be walking up and down, hanging under streetlights the way the traditional prostitutes would in all your books, your dime store novels and things yeah. like that.
Your film noirs.
And your Hollywood Boulevard type things, mm-hmm. the kind of things that would catch famous actors. That would be in scandals after that, who I won't name at this time. Now, when you walk down the street in Amsterdam, if you haven't been there, the windows are framed in neon red lights where women stand to advertise their wares, their bodies. Mm-hmm. Now, they're dressed in like lingerie. So it's not like naked women standing in the windows, but it's very easy to see. If you go to ramblingbusiness.com and also our Facebook page, I took some pictures of those. Now, what I didn't take pictures of were women because that's forbidden. And all I did was take pictures of windows that just had the red lights out and the curtains were drawn. I just mm-hmm. wanted the street, not the whole window, but just the street to show the windows. And the reason why that's bad is because from what I have been reading is some of these women who are in prostitution are doing it without their family knowing about it.
Yeah.
So if people take pictures of them, it could create real problems for them. And if you are caught taking pictures, you really could suffer the wrath of one of them. They come out there and kick your ass. I don't know. But and I don't know what the police would do, but they don't want that. It's really frowned upon. So there was about, according to what I was reading, I didn't count them, of course, about 300 operating windows. And what I did learn on some of the research that I did is that there was more than one red light district. There was the traditional one, and then there was actually two others. Now, this could explain why the last time I was there, I was with your mom and your sister. We were walking down. It was actually the same street of where our hotel was this time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't pronounce the name anymore.
You couldn't pronounce it then.
That's so. Right. That's right. So I got lost. But there were windows with red neon lights on that street too. And we were blocks away from the traditional red light district. So I was really surprised that I saw somebody
there. Yeah, well, that's the symbol. It's like the barber pole.
Right, you know, right, right.
It's the traditional symbol. And do you know why the barber pole is that?
You told me that. I forgot.
Blood and bandages. They used to be the doctors. Equivalent of surgeons. Yeah,
yeah. Wow. So now what's very interesting, because it's legal in Amsterdam, is prostitutes pay taxes and they get health care,
mm-hmm.
which is a great thing.
Yeah, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Especially in an industry that they mandate STD testing every couple of days or whatever.
And then also the working conditions are regulated by the government. So, you know, we talk about working conditions being regulated here from people not falling into a machine.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, they have different kinds of regulations of their work. And so the profession, though, is creating a problem, because what it was supposed to prevent, it is starting to create a bigger problem. And that was, it was supposed to start preventing sex trafficking, human trafficking, very illegal activity. And what's happening is that more sex traffickers are coming in with women that are coerced and opening up their own shops. And so it's starting to create a problem, and people in Amsterdam are getting very upset. Recently, 10 Hungarians were prosecuted for human sex trafficking, and there had been hundreds of such cases over the past 10, 15 years. And women are abused by their pimps and threatened.
Which is what happens when, you know, like in normal illegal prostitution, right?
Right, right, right.
So they were trying to solve a problem that continued.
Right. And it became a magnet for more and more around the world, because it became a better cover for them. So in other words, if you're going to Los Angeles and sex trafficking, you really got to be, you know, below the radar. Nobody knows it, nobody sees it, because it's not legal here. But there, you could have an open storefront and just people don't know what's going on. Now, what's happened, though, is one third of brothel windows have closed. And they're expecting more to lose their licenses. Xavier Hollander, which I had not heard that word since I was a kid, her name since I was a kid.
Hollander?
No. Xavier. I always call it Xavier.
Xaviera?
That's what Xaviera is how you pronounce it. But I always call it Xavier. And your mom said, that's a guy's name. And I said, oh, I've been pronouncing it wrong since I was a teenager.
Oh, okay.
But she wrote the book, The Happy Hooker, My Own Story. And I think they made it into a movie. And it's a reported article about a woman. It's a person who started prostitution when he was young.
Talking about sex trafficking and what goes on there.
So some of the articles that I've been reading have considered prostitution, legalized prostitution, a disaster. And they see the end in the foreseeable future. In fact, public demonstrations have been taking place outside, putting down the sex trade in Amsterdam, and they're like called prostitution abolitionist.
Okay.
And so it's really created a very interesting dynamic in Amsterdam. And, you know, people, when they think about Amsterdam, they think about legalized marijuana and legalized prostitution. And like you said, legalized marijuana is kind of like a restricted legalization.
Yeah.
And prostitution, who knows? That may go away.
To learn more about the business of Amsterdam's Red Light District, go to www.amsterdam.info/redlightdistrict, separated by hyphens. You're listening to Rambling Business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Rick E. Norris and Accountancy Corporation. If you'd like to get the full experience, check out our website for videos, music, pictures, takeaways, and travel tips. www.ramblingbusiness.com. Now it's time for our tax tales, where we tell you about strange and unusual taxes from the past and the present.
Tax tales, tax tales, tax tales, tax tales,
tax tales. Tax tales, a woo.
So in late 2017, The Guardian reported that Amsterdam introduced a tax amounting to 10 euros a night to tourists as the authorities tried to limit stag weekends for, you know, like bachelor night.
Right, right. Coming over from London, right?
Yeah, on the train. And basically trying to limit visitors to the red light district and reclaim the city for residents because there was so much tourism going on. About 17 million people visited the city of 850 residents, so not even
850,000 residents.
Yeah, that's what I meant. 850,000 residents.
850 residents, you're going to be able to buy a cheeseburger. Of course, you can't buy a cheeseburger anyway, but
that's true. Yeah, yeah. But still, it's under a million people. That's like 17 million people visited, and there's only under a million who lived there in 2016, up from 12 million 5 years earlier. So, you know, still a big proportion. And the trend is expected to accelerate. More than a quarter of visitors stayed in budget hotels, and the local council says bringing limited cash into the municipal coffers, but helping to encourage a trend toward the city center being dominated by tourist accommodation so that the outskirts can be for the people who live there.
Now, see, we didn't stay in a budget hotel.
No, we didn't.
And we, you know, went to a great restaurant, which we'll talk about as our travel tip. And even though we were just there one night, but so I don't think we really fit the kind of people they were trying to get rid of.
No.
Because, and we did spend money when we went there.
Yeah.
You know, and that, so, yeah, so, I don't know.
But
I
even mean, then, they're doing a tax on it so that they can have some benefit for the people coming. Yeah. If they're going to keep coming, they might as well be able to spend that on amenities for those people who live there.
Well, you're right. In most places that are resort, like Las Vegas, do have a tourist tax. There is something that's on your, if you look at your hotel receipt, you'll see that. And sometimes when you're booking on one of these booking sites, they'll say this does not count taxes such as tourist taxes.
Yeah. And I mean, that makes total sense because if you have, you know, your population's under a million and you have 17 million extra people using the streets and the rail lines and especially
the
people
toilets.
who are coming for stag weekends aren't known as the best guests. So probably there's a lot more repairs that have to go on when those are the type of people showing up. Now it's time for a travel tip, where we tell you what fun things you could do in the Amsterdam area.
If you like authentic Dutch food in an old-fashioned setting,
or you want to find out what authentic Dutch food is, more likely.
Yeah, we had some very big eyes around our table when that food came to the table.
Yeah.
It was unusual things. We found a fantastic restaurant in Amsterdam, and it was actually given as the a tip from the concierge of the hotel we were staying at. And it happened to be next door to the hotel.
Yeah, it was the best walk you could possibly get.
And it was we went there for your mom's birthday. And now, this is going to be tough to pronounce. It's called Die Vuf Vlee, which is D, the letter D, V-U-F-F is the second word. The third word is V-L-I-E-J-H.
G-H.
G-H. Do I say J?
You said J.
G-H. Yeah, G-H. Now, it serves authentic Dutch food like lettuce soup, right? Wasn't that
one? Yeah, we had lettuce soup.
That's actually pretty good.
It was.
The restaurant.
I don't think it's not like iceberg lettuce.
No, right. Now, the restaurant existed. Well, didn't they say over 100 years, the restaurant, and the property was like 300 years old or something, right?
Yeah, it used to be some sort of trade warehouse or something.
Yeah. So you're really in an authentic place, and we really like to go to authentic places and historical places because it just adds another great dimension to your vacation to try to sit there and think about who was sitting in the same seat in the same area we were at.
They even had things on that where they had little placards on the seats on famous people who had gone there over the years.
That was really, really cool. So now, where is it, you may ask? It's kind of hard to remember. It's across the alley from the hotel we stayed at, which is the NH City Center Amsterdam Hotel on
Spuistraat Street.
Very good. That was great.
Hey, I'm really good at pronouncing languages. I don't speak any other ones, but my grandma always says, you have such a good Italian accent. I just pretend I'm Mario from Mario Brothers.
So I really recommend you spend one night eating dinner there. The owner was fantastic. I don't know, the owner or waiter? Owner? Yeah. I don't know. But
whoever was serving us was just...
He was great. He was great. And... you know, I actually thought about doing an episode on them. I just didn't. I think we were leaving the next day or something, so I didn't have time.
It's time for our takeaways, where we tell you what steps you can take to implement what we've been talking about on the podcast. The first thing to think about is if you're thinking of opening up a business that promotes what some people might call a vice, whether it's a liquor store, a marijuana dispensary, a strip joint, vape store, lotto outlets, or what have you, think about the overall social impact, especially in your own neighborhood.
Yeah, I've known here in the LA area about whole neighborhoods going up in arms because something had opened up, like a massage parlor.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, it's nothing but a prostitution ring, and the whole neighborhood became very irate. And
but on the other hand, people also do that with Walmarts, so.
Well, you're right. They're right. In fact, they did it with, in Manhattan Beach, they did it with... the high level store, grocery store, Gelson's. Yeah, Gelson's.
They protested at Gelson's?
Because it was down the street in the hill section on Sepulveda, PCH.
Uh-huh.
And they were very upset about that.
Yeah.
And there was signs all over the place. So, That's not a vice unless you are really
lunch meat and cheese is my vice.
Yeah, so. Right. If you're addicted to the Gelson's lunch cheese and meat, that's a vice. Yeah. Number two, look carefully at the local legislation trends. Is there a movement to eliminate or severely regulate the business that you want to start? That would be a bummer, huh?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the law passes 6 months later and you're out of business?
Yeah. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
The third thing to think about is focus on the employees who work for you. What adverse impact or security concerns are there in relation to your employees? Especially, you know, I mean, if you're doing sex work stuff,
yeah.
Sometimes people attack sex workers
right.
physically.
Right.
And so you have to think of these different concerns. I knew various people who had marijuana dispensaries in California had to worry about having large amounts of cash and
right.
what to do about that.
That's
being
a real
robbed.
Big concern. Yeah.
Every industry has their own challenges, but especially for ones like this.
And the last point is monetize everything. Now, this really gets into a point of when you're running a cash and carry business like a marijuana dispensary,
mm-hmm.
is that you really just can't be having, okay, cash here, cash there, you know, I got cash in, I can pay cash out. We have problems with this just with restaurants that get cash in and they have to pay their vendors in cash and we can't account for it. And we're going crazy. So we're requiring internal controls in our restaurants on cash and carry businesses that they have to have records because you have to be able to monetize everything. Your investment, your rate of return, what's happening with the proposed legislation. And the thing to remember is that if you cannot measure it, you cannot manage it.
And that's not only figuring out what your expenses are. It's also, if you have cash flowing in and out that you're not keeping track of, someone could be stealing
exactly.
it, siphoning it on the top.
Right.
And you have to be very careful.
Yeah, you knew of somebody working in the restaurant industry, fast food. You could tell that story.
Oh, yes. I worked at a food place, a fast casual, as they'd call it these days. I won't mm-hmm. mention the name.
Yeah.
But I worked with a young man who had a drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends came in to visit, and he offered my friend as much as they could fit in like a grocery-sized bag of mm-hmm. baked goods for $20 cash because he, you know, needed to buy drugs.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that definitely would eat into the profits of the business.
Yeah.
Now it's time to answer a question from one of our listeners. We have one from Wendell who says, should I do payroll in-house or hire a payroll company? I want to save money, but I also hear that it's pretty hard to do your own payroll.
Yes. Hire a payroll company.
Yeah, do that.
Very simple. Because what happens is that there's different payroll laws, and even though you may use QuickBooks payroll and do the payroll yourself, you have to keep track of making your deposits on time. If you don't do it, you have some steep penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the W-2s and the 1099s maybe, and the W-3s, the quarterly reports, all this stuff. You can spend really a reasonable amount of money and have a payroll service do it, and you could spend the extra time that you were using pulling your hair on how to do payroll on making money on your business with your core competency.
Not to mention that, like, as someone who worked as a bookkeeper for small companies,
mm-hmm.
Definitely it takes a lot of time to do payroll in-house.
Yeah.
So you may be saving money by, you know, not contracting it out, but you're not saving money because your internal bookkeeper is
having to do
all that work.
Right.
So, and you have to pay them hourly usually.
And if something goes wrong, you're still on the hook.
Yeah, exactly. If someone else is doing it and they screw up, it's their fault and you're not liable. So, yep. Always contract payroll out is our advice. That's all we have for this week. Check out some of our podcasts from the past where Rambling Business traveled through Maui to Martha's Vineyard, New Orleans to Vancouver, Canada to Norway, San Francisco to Amsterdam. We're trotting all over this globe.
That's right, leaving our footprints.
Yeah. The map on ramblingbusiness.com shows our travels. You click on the pins on the map to see what episodes we have.
I got it up to date today.
Oh,
yeah, I did.
Good
I actually job. I got up to date, I think, when I was in Philadelphia.
You get a gold star. And you can figure out what podcasts we have for that city. Next week, we're going to stay in Amsterdam, Netherlands, when we're going to talk about the famous coffee shops, wink, wink, which is where they serve legalized marijuana. And I will give you an unbiased review of one.
Great.
But till then, I'm Brandon.
This is Rick, and thank you for letting us get into your business, no matter where it is. Our music and podcast was produced by my son, Devin S. Norris. For all your music, composition, and podcast needs, check out devinsnorris.com.